Robert, come on up. I want to. Most of y'all have met Robert Mills. Some of you have not. Robert and I didn't even realize this. Robert went to school with my brother in high school, and we were reminiscing this morning. They were 2 years ahead of me, so that means you're older than I am, Robert. They were a couple of years ahead when we played basketball, and we were reminiscing about the 70s short basketball shorts. Do anybody remember those? Any guys ever wear those? And Robert and I looked good. I'm just saying. We did look good. But Robert, we are blessed in our church we have several retired pastors. Alan back there, raise your hand, Alan. Alan back there. Marv, I think, is not here this morning. Marv is preaching at another church. Jim Reinbolt right back there. And Robert has served as an associate pastor as well. And we've got Billy that does everything I don't want to do. So we're good. We're really good. But Robert is, I'm looking forward to hearing what you had to say. Come here, brother. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. You are the changer of hearts. I pray that you would empower my friend, that you would anoint him with power from on high, that you would bless us with open ears and open hearts, God, and we would hear your word, and we would respond. May your peace fall on Robert in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, good morning, church. This is such a fun church to go to, and we're blessed, Debbie and I both, to be a part of your fellowship. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today and really just visit with you about him. Sometimes I get some of my best words when I'm in the bathroom. I don't know why. Usually it's while I'm shaving. You know, I think maybe it has something to do with seeing my face in the mirror. Maybe I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I don't know, but I get some of my best words then. And so I was going back and forth. There's just so much to talk about when you talk about the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm just consumed with him. I love studying about him. I love talking to him. I love spending time with him. He radically changed my life in August of 2005. I'll never be the same again. The old man is gone, and the new man is here to stay. And the power of the Holy Spirit is part of that equation that spoke to me. So back to I'm shaving, and I'm, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, I need you to gather up your toiletries and take them to church. You heard me. Gather up your toiletries and take them to church. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Oh, yeah, you are. I said, no, give me something else, you know. Give me something else, you know. That's what I want you to do. So I get him up in a Ziploc bag. You can see through a Ziploc bag. So I ask my wife for a shoebox, and she says, what are you doing with all your toiletries in the shoebox? I said, well, Holy Spirit told me to bring them, so I'm bringing them. So the idea here is what all do we do to get ready in the morning to come to church or go to work or spend our time, whatever we're doing that day? And so I just collected my stuff. And, of course, I had, you know, deodorant. You always need deodorant, right? And I had some of us more than others. And I had I'll block the name out here so you can't see the name of it, my cologne. And we all need that. And, of course, I had the standard toothpaste, and I got my toothbrush in here. This is all happening this morning, okay? And I can't forget to take the Sudafed, you know, because I got the stuff, you know. So you got to take that. And, I got to have a little pill for blood pressure, And I got to have a little pill for colon. Never mind. I won't talk about that. Let's see here. Oh, got to shave. You know, got to have stuff for shaving. Oh, I got to get the nose hairs, you know. You got to, right? I mean, you do. You know, as I was collecting this stuff, I realized that I had several tubes of ointments. Like I had things that are going wrong with my body. Young people, just take solace and know that as you get older, you get rashy. But I had to put it all on. Had to have the scissors to trim my beard and my mustache. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit. I told him in August of 05 that I'd be willing to make a fool out of myself for him. Because he changed my life so radically. I said, okay, Holy Spirit. I said, what was that all about? He said, now, ask yourself. And he said, ask everybody else. You do all this to get ready to go out during the day. And what do you do for me? How do you prepare for me? How do you put the clothing of the Holy Spirit on to go out and meet that world? And I was like, wow, you're right. In the flesh, I do all kinds of stuff. But what am I doing in the spirit to get ready, to get going? And it got quiet in here. And it got quiet in here because we can do a better job, right? We can work a little harder at preparing our insides like we prepare our outsides to walk in the power and the presence of the Lord. Well, I'm studying this book for the third time about the Holy Spirit. And actually, our small group on our community group on Sunday nights is about the Holy Spirit. And the author lists about 30 different names of the Bible in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. And I found a few that I connected with. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of our living Lord here on earth. He's the Spirit of knowledge. You want to get smarter? Buddy up to the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Holy One. Calls him the Holy One. He's to be honored. He's the Spirit of wisdom. These are all in the Bible. He's called the Helper. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a little help. Sometimes the way I'm doing it ain't working too good. And we can rely on him and we can call on him. He's called the Comforter. He can comfort us in times of horrible tragedy. We can have a joy inside us that supersedes what the earth understands, right? Even in tragedy, he's our comforter. I like this one. He's called the Spirit of Sound Mind. The Spirit of Sound Mind. He can calm our mind. He can make things understandable. He's the Spirit of the Sound Mind. He's the Spirit of Power. We can walk in power, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Love. And that goes in several directions because he's obviously the Spirit of God's love. But sometimes we need to love those who are unlovable. And the Holy Spirit can give us that power to love those who are unlovable. And then my favorite one is he's the spirit of grace. Because see, in August of 05, I was not a good man. And I cried out to him. And I'm not talking about, I didn't just say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need your help. I need to change. I'd been raised in church. I'd lived my life in church. And I was so far from Jesus. By August of 05, it was horrible. See, we can be in church and be a far, far, far away from Jesus. And I cried out. I mean, I cried out. I cried out, Lord, I need to change. Help me. And I did it over and over and over again. And he heard my cry. And the spirit of grace came into me and let me know that I wasn't too far gone. That I hadn't sinned too badly. But that Jesus' blood was enough for me. And so spirit of grace has a special meaning to me. Francis Chan, in his book Forgotten God, made the following statement. If I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to stop God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. See, that's what he's after. It's the third person in the Trinity. He's equal. But the crazy thing is, and the revelation to me many years ago, was that Jesus said, hey, I got to go. And they'd been with him for 3 years, and they didn't understand that. But he said, if I don't go, I can't send you the Holy Spirit, the one who can help you and comfort you and give you knowledge. And many places in the Bible, it says, Jesus left and went to the right hand of the Father. And he'll come back like he left on the clouds. But he's at the right hand of the Father. You know what he's doing? He's interceding for you and me. You get lonely, you think, I don't have anybody. Yes, you do. You got Jesus interceding, the Holy One, at the righteous hand of the Father, the right hand. But then he sent the Holy Spirit. Well, why did he send the Holy Spirit? If he left and went to the right hand of the Father, why did he send the Holy Spirit? So we would have the Spirit of Christ in us and with us to walk this life out. See, I think it's pretty important that we understand who the Holy Spirit is. He's the friend. He's the one that we can rely on. He's the trustworthy one. John 16, 7 through 15 says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take care, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take care of mine and declare it to you. So Jesus says it's to our advantage that the Holy Spirit comes. The Greek word for advantage is actually profit. Profitable. So it's profitable that he leaves the Holy Spirit for us. And he says he's got to go so he can send the Holy Spirit. And he says what the Holy Spirit is. He says he's the Spirit of truth. See, you can rely on whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you. He'll never steer you wrong. As a matter of fact, he'll guide you into all truth. Now, you may not, and I may not, like what he's telling us, right? But nevertheless, he's full of truth. We can rely on what he has to say. The Holy Spirit only speaks what Father God speaks, only does what Father God does. He's trustworthy. He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it's to our advantage or to our profit that the Holy Spirit is here. And this scripture goes on. It tells us he teaches us about sin, the pitfalls of the sinful life, exposing the trickery of Satan, who roams the earth doing what? Yeah. Seeking to kill us, to steal from us, to destroy us. And it's to our profit because he's teaching us about righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. His death, his burial, and his resurrection made us righteous. See, I'm nothing but filthy rags before the King. Except that I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And now the holy blood of Jesus covers me and makes me white as snow. And that's the promise that we hold on to. And he convicts the world of that. He helps us understand a thing called judgment. He helps us understand that Satan is not only judged, but he's lost. Hear me now. You may be under attack. You may be fighting a battle with the enemy. You may be succumbing to whatever is after you, the temptation. Jesus died for that victory. And Satan is defeated. It's just really a matter of whether or not we believe it. It's really a matter of whether or not we accept it. And it's really a matter of whether or not we intentionally apply it. Because he's the victor. Here's a cool thing. Also says he will tell us of things to come. See, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He can have 1,000 conversations at once. He can be answering my prayer and answering 1,000 other prayers or more. Helping me out with something. I said out of something because usually that's what he does. He helps me out of something. Helping me out of something or with something. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows the past. He knows the present. And here's the cool thing. He knows the future because he's the Spirit of God. Now, if you had a friend and that friend was credible and he was full of integrity and you believed everything that friend said because he was full of honor and you realized in your friendship that he could tell the future, he could see the future, and you were friends with him, wouldn't you want to buddy up to that guy? Wouldn't you want to spend a little more time with him? Wouldn't you think he might be able to help us not make some of the jags off of the main road? Anybody make jags off of the main road? Raise your hand if you do. Oh, look, I'm not alone. Praise God. I make jags off the main road. But the Holy Spirit can help me see where I need to go, even when I don't understand where we're going. He knows everything. And here's the cool thing. He'll only glorify Jesus. Well, that's important because there's other spirits in this world, right? There's other spirits that want to tell us other stuff. They lead us the wrong path. We listen, and it's not the right thing. Maybe it's even worse than that in your own life, and you've actually tried to listen to them. And sometimes, most of the time, because Satan, he's a dirty dog. I call him Old Ugly, because he disguises this stuff as light. Jesus is the light, and he disguises this stuff as light. But if you put the Spirit to the test, if it's not Jesus, if it's not the Holy Spirit, it'll show up, because the spirits out there never glorify Jesus. But the Holy Spirit does. So he's trustworthy. He's the one we can trust and lean on. The other spirits will always deny the things of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will share more and more of Jesus with us as we go after him. And then in verse 15 of that verse, Jesus declares the Holy Spirit an equal partner. This is important. It's important that I understand this and that we understand this. He declares the Holy Spirit, not just here, but in multiple places, an equal partner in the Trinity. Well, Robert, how can you say that? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because he's God. He's God in spirit here. The Bible says he's the Spirit of Christ. He's an equal partner. And the cool thing is we really need to spend more time with him, because he's who Jesus sent to us. Right? He's who sent. Jesus sent him to us to help us walk through this life. John 5, 39 through 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Here's a truth. You can be a Bible expert and still not know Jesus. Hear me. Don't hear what I didn't say. I didn't say don't study the Bible or read the Bible. What I said was, you can be a Bible expert and still not know Jesus. Because we have to submit to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Matter of fact, it can be as plain to others as the nose on our face, and we can still miss it. You know, life can be that way, right? Have you ever had that happen to you, where it was just as plain as this, but I did everything but this? Debbie and mine's search for a church was that way. When we left as associate pastors from Church on the Rock, we were searching for another church. We drive by here 40 times a month, right by here, and we never visited here. It was plain, as plain as the nose on our face. And finally I said that. I said, Debbie, you know, we drive by that church at Wiley Methodist. We ought to visit there. And when we did, we found a home. But it was as plain as the nose on our face. We just kept driving by it, not paying attention. It's the same thing with the Word of God and with Jesus. The Scriptures testify of Jesus. But if we aren't willing to come to him to be intentional about what he specifically says to do in this life, then we can be experts in the Scriptures and not know him. He is very specific about his Holy Spirit. And church, we need to pay attention. John 14, 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Spirit will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." See, our daily goal when reading the Bible should be to know and interact with the God of the Bible. And I guess I don't want to step on any toes, but we should be reading the Bible every day. Okay, let me just throw that out there. All right. Well, I say that because the statistics tell us that about 80% of church-going Christians aren't opening their Bible during the week. I'm not making that up. I mean, that's just a real-life statistic. And so one of the things we need to be doing if we're going to walk with the Holy Spirit and we're going to take this to the next level is probably need to crack open the Word, right? Just crack open the Word and read it. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand what we're reading. Help us to reveal the mysteries of the Scriptures and help us with understanding what we are reading. Now, let me give you a sidebar here, okay? We really should be asking the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Bible and what we're reading. But sometimes when you read the Scriptures, do you not understand them? Sometimes you read them and... Or maybe you read them one time and you don't really get it, but maybe 2 months later you read them and bam, you get it, whatever. Well, the Bible also says, and I just think this is really cool. That's why I like when we have children's church down here. The Bible says that the reading of the Word washes over us. You know, even if you don't understand it, read it anyway. Because supernaturally, you're taking a bath. Isn't that cool? The reading of the Word washes over us. And so we should be in the Word daily and take our bath, right? Whether we fully understand it or not. But we can better understand it as we walk with the Holy Spirit and dialogue with Him and ask Him to help us understand what He's saying to us. God offers us so much life and peace through the Word. And we have the Holy Spirit help us understand the Scriptures, teach us about what we are reading, and to give us wisdom. And Jesus, He promises even more than that. He said that the Holy Spirit will teach us in all things. See, we need to start having conversations daily. Well, Holy Spirit, but some people probably think I'm crazy when I'm driving. Because I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm like, Holy Spirit, what about this? What about that? And there's nobody else in the truck. You know, I'm sitting at the red light. I'm conversing with Him like He's over on the passenger side. Which spiritually He is, okay? But we need to be having conversations with Him daily. Because He can teach us in all things. Jesus didn't say, the Holy Spirit can teach you in a few things. Or some things. He said, all things He can teach us in. So this tells me we must have a daily dialogue with the Holy Spirit. Now, I got to tell you, one of the things that I love about our church is that our pastor continually and regularly and our congregants invite the Holy Spirit to be here. That is so awesome. We invite Him to be a part of our service. We're honoring Him. We're lifting Him up. And He's here. He's here. And our church, it blesses my heart so much that we have a pastor who wants the Holy Spirit here and wants to hear from the Holy Spirit and wants us to hear from the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're saved, you should have a testimony. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, 80% of the people I talk to about testimony, they're like, well, no. I'm not getting up in front of people and giving my testimony. I've had others tell me it's really hard because even to want one to another, it's just hard. Well, let me just help you a little bit on that. A testimony is simply telling somebody what Jesus did for you. That's all it is. It can be a minute. Or it can be 30 minutes. But it's just what Jesus did for you. And if we're willing to step out in boldness and share Jesus, we can call on the Holy Spirit to bring remembrance. That's what Scripture says, remembrance to us. And maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've been talking to someone and you knew you needed to talk to them about Jesus, and y'all talked about things, and all of a sudden this well up of stuff came out, and you were able to help them, and you were able to encourage them, and you were able to use the Bible, and you were able to speak words of encouragement and wisdom to them, and that was the Holy Spirit bringing remembrance of what Jesus said to your lips. So sometimes we just got to rely on Him to do what He said He would do. By the way, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit 350 plus times, give or take one or two. 350 plus times, God wants us to know who the Holy Spirit is. God wants us to understand how He can be a part of our lives. John 14, 16 through 18 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Jesus says He will not leave us orphans. He's in us and with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. This verse promises that we can always count on the Holy Spirit. He abides with us forever. We can count on Him, lean on Him. Jesus uses the term orphans, which I thought was interesting in this verse, which means that we can rely on the Holy Spirit as our spiritual father here on earth, right here with us. He said He won't leave us as orphans, and He gave us the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8 it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit can give us supernatural power. Power to stay the course when sin temptations attack us. Power to stay strong in adversity. Power to stay strong in loss. See, I believe that the key to running this life in spiritual terms is winning the spiritual battles. You see, the spiritual battles that we fight ultimately form our situations in the flesh. Our spiritual wins and losses define who we are and how victorious we live as Christians. Our success living the Christian life well and victorious, I believe, may be contingent on our relationship with the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, Christ's Spirit, the one that Jesus sent to us. Running with godly stamina, finishing strong, is a direct result of how much we believe about what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, and that He sent Him to us for us. Romans 8, 26, 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You see, the Holy Spirit helps us pray when we don't know what to pray. Actually, I think this scripture addresses that we are probably weak when it comes to praying, because He uses the word "for." We're weak, and then He says "for." Or there is some weakness when it comes to praying as we ought and praying the will of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray or what to say. And the cool thing is the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us. That's what the scripture says. He's interceding for us. Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. We are not alone. That's my timer. That's funny. I forgot that it made a noise. I I have to believe that as we give him more of ourselves, our prayer life will come to life. As we give him more of ourselves, our prayer life will have more meaning and more power. As we talk to him more each day, our prayer life will come alive. Allow me to conclude with this. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think repentance sometimes, well, I don't think we talk about it enough. You know, I was really good as a churchgoer of confessing my sin and asking Jesus to forgive me. Maybe you are too. But I kind of omitted the repentance part. But the repentance part is one of the most important parts, because when we repent, we're going wrong one way and it's the wrong way, and repentance says, hey, we're going to stop going that way and we're going to go this way towards Jesus. He is God's gift to us, and he was sent to us through the immense love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has a job to do, and it is ordained by Christ. He is a relationship, not a ritual. And we have a job too. Let us be more intentional to daily meet with, to daily converse with, to daily pray with our Holy Spirit, sent from God, sent from Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. He is God's Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is an equal in the Trinity. And here's the cool thing. He wants to commune with you and me. I'm going to go over here and tell y'all. He wants to commune with you and me. Tell y'all. The Holy Spirit desire is to commune. That's very personal. That's very raw. He wants to commune with you and give you a life of more power and give you a life of more joy. Who wants joy? I could use joy, right? And give you a life of more knowledge and more wisdom. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the third in the Trinity. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you sent him to us. Jesus, you proclaimed you're going to the right hand of the Father, and you're sending the Holy Spirit to help us, be our teacher, our helper, ordained to be our friend. God, I pray you help us to come to a better realization of who your Holy Spirit is and how he can impact our life. And most importantly, God, I pray that we, as your people, would be more intentional about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let's all stand. The altars are open. Where all the love comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all you, I'm in all you. Red, 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 and my sin was white. I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
There's a place where sin and shame are
have a seat. We've got a new camera, so you're going to be able to see. Isn't that great? Have that camera. So, Sydney, come on up, girl. Now, family, you guys, this, come on up. Anybody with Sydney that wants to come over, if you'll stand right there, Sydney. This is Sydney Katona. Did I pronounce that right? Katona, right? Yeah, just stand up on that so everybody can kind of see you. Awesome. Come on up, family. I want to tell you, I was talking about all the preachers that we have in the church. I'm going to book a Sunday for Sydney, because this girl, as I was asking questions, as we were talking through this decision that she's made and what we're doing today, she knows the Bible. She knows the Word of God. And we're excited, Sydney, that you have said yes to Jesus. And so, is everybody up here? Come on up. If you're not going to hurt, y'all come on. Come on. They can still see her. Okay. So, Sydney, we talked about the questions that I would ask you as you come to make this decision today. And the first one is that issue of sin, that we're all sinners. So do you confess that you are a sinner? And you asked, I told her she didn't have to say sir, but you know, hey, it's okay. And do you repent of your sin? You want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and ask him to be in your heart. You want to be baptized in that faith. Amen. If you'll sit right there, Hold your nose. Sit on that ledge. Sydney, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. One of the things that Robert talked about today, the Holy Spirit, he's not only with us, but he wants to live inside of us. And so we are going to invite the Holy Spirit to live inside of this young lady. So if y'all can come up, if you can get a hand to her and put a hand on her. If you can't, reach the person closest to you. All right, pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for Sydney. Thank you that she loves you, that she has accepted you as her Lord and her Savior. Be that for her, God. I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit in her, God. We heard the word today that how you've sent your Spirit. So fill her and Father, grow her up into the young lady you have called her to be and you have created her to be. Bless her and bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Robert, will you come and give a benediction and also bless our meal? If you did not bring food for the meal, please stay. We've got enough, so please stay, and we're going to go. I'm going to go last, but the rest of the staff, if y'all would be so kind to let the rest of the staff get up at the front of the line, that would be awesome today. Robert, bless us.
Children of God that you've called us to be. We ask, Lord, you bless this food, the nourishment of our bodies. And Father God, we thank you for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
At the cross.